93.5 Tuscola, Champaign-Urbana, your home for the St. Louis Cardinals.
Democrats will get more info on what they see as another Russia scandal. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News.
If this isn't treason, I don't know what is.
That's Congressman Seth Moulton seizing on reports President Trump disputes that he was briefed. Fox's Rachel Sutherland has more live.
Dave, CIA Director Gina Haspel, Director of National Intelligence John Ratcliffe, and NSA Director Paul Matt Nakasone will brief the so-called Gang of Eight today on intelligence that Russia put bounties on U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan. The briefing comes as the White House maintains there was no consensus on the matter within the intelligence community. President Trump told the Fox Business Network,
I think it's a hoax. I think it's a hoax by the newspapers and the Democrats.
Fox has told the House Intelligence Committee will also receive a similar briefing this afternoon. Dave?
Rachel, the president also told Fox Business he's all for masks but doesn't want them mandatory nationwide.
You would wear one.
I have. I mean, people have seen me wearing one.
Now, Joe Biden's been wearing one, and the president's Democratic challenger outfundraised the Trump campaign last month and last quarter. The number of new coronavirus cases hit 50,000 yesterday for the first time, with infections surging from Florida to California.
Beaches up and down the state are closing for the holiday weekend. Governor Gavin Newsom ordered bars closed in 19 counties. Those 19 counties also have to close down inside operations in restaurants, wineries, and theaters. Zoos and museums are closing as well.
Fox's Jessica Rosenthal later this hour. Two jobs reports, the weekly number of new claims from people out of work, and the monthly unemployment rate expected to drop in June with predictions of 3 million jobs added. The weeks-long protest in that Seattle chop zone has been dismantled after violence, including two deadly shootings. The father of one of the victims got emotional on Fox's Hannity.
I don't know nothing. All I know is my son was, he got killed up there. And he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son.
America's listening to Fox News.
It's already a number one bestseller, and it's called Blitz. Trump will smash the left and win. By famed author David Horowitz, Blitz makes predictions about President Trump that will shock you. He also warns about radical groups like Antifa. Blitz is at bookstores, or get the free offer and save $28. Just call 800-NEWS-MAX or go to blitz411.com. blitz411.com. Mike Huckabee says if everyone read Blitz, Trump would win. Newsmax says it's the best book for 2020. Call 800-NEWS-MAX for the free offer now.
If you shop online, you need to hear this. Truth is, there are deals out there you're probably not getting. That's why there's Honey. Honey is a free browser extension that scans the internet for discounts when you shop online, then applies the biggest savings to your cart automatically. It works on Amazon, Nike, Best Buy, Target, practically everywhere you shop. Exactly. Add Honey for free at joinhoney.com/audio. That's joinhoney.com/audio.
Will Americans be getting more money from the government? President Trump says he supports it, and perhaps even more than what Democrats want. If it's done properly, he says. The House already approved another $3 trillion stimulus plan. Most adults got $1,200 in the first round of stimulus.
House lawmakers on Capitol Hill approved by unanimous consent a bill that extends a federal government program that provides forgivable loans to small businesses. The Senate, meanwhile, will discuss the next coronavirus relief package when it returns from its two-week recess on July 20th.
Fox's Kevin Cork. Congress also getting ready to question some of the most powerful business leaders.
The CEOs of Apple, Google, Facebook, and Amazon have agreed to testify on Capitol Hill. They're to be grilled later this month by the House Judiciary Committee as part of a probe into anti-competitive conduct in the online marketplace. The companies have been facing allegations of stifling their competition.
Fox's Jill Nato. A lot of us can relate to this, working from home during this corona pandemic and having the occasional interruption.
A viral video shows Sky News foreign affairs editor Deborah Haynes reporting live from her home when her young son interrupts with a pressing question.
Can I have two biscuits?
Yes, you can have two biscuits. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah, okay. Well, we'll leave Deborah Haynes in full flow there with some family duties.
Viewers finding the footage hilarious. Others say Haynes shouldn't have been cut off, explaining she's a mom multitasking. The clip viewed hundreds of thousands of times on Twitter. Kristen Goodwin, Fox News.
The stock market could react to the double jobs report due out in about 25 minutes. Ahead of that, we've seen some optimism on Wall Street. Dow futures are up about 250 points. I'm Dave Anthony, and this is Fox News.
I'm Jamie Monticelli with your ESPN 93.5 local news update. The Champaign County Sheriff's Office is warning people about scammers who claim to be with the IRS. The News Gazette says the caller tells the victim their Social Security number was used to open bank accounts, which were used in crimes. The caller tells the victim a warrant has been issued for their arrest and wants money to take care of it. If you get a call like that, don't give your personal information. Hang up. In order to complete a sanitary sewer main install, J.H. Findorf will close the intersection of 6th Street and John Street. That closure begins on Monday, July 6th. It'll reopen Friday, July 24th. Several closures and traffic adjustments will occur in order to maintain local access. John Street between 5th Street and 6th will change to bidirectional traffic. John Street between 6th and Wright Street will change to bidirectional traffic. 6th Street between Green Street and John Street will be closed. You're up to date. I'm Jamie Monticelli.
Well, good Thursday morning, July 2. Ahead of perhaps a three-day weekend for many of you, we hope.
Yeah.
Weather brought to you by Watts Copy Systems, locally owned with a tradition of providing premier service and support for over 38 years. They're privileged to support local businesses and value the trust and support you place in them. Together, they bring value, tradition, inspiration, and innovation to the community. Call them, Watts Copy Systems, 352-0428. Morning, Diane Ducey.
Morning, Stevie. Up to 89 today, 66 our low this evening, 90 tomorrow as we wrap up the week with partly cloudy conditions, down to around 66 in the evening. For the 4th of July, Saturday, and on Sunday the 5th, we've got sunny conditions and a high of 91 expected, 70 our low in the evening. Right now we're at 73 on ESPN 93.5.
All right, going to touch a lot of bases here this morning. The Biden presser, we'll touch on that here in just a moment. We're going to talk to Robin Kaler at the University of Illinois. They prepare for students and everybody kind of get cranked back up for the fall.
Mm-hmm. There's some job opportunities there, too.
Yep. We'll talk about that. Eric Meyer over at Pia's and his struggle as a small business owner, getting back to semblance of normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that. Our good friend Boyd Matheson, Deseret News, will be coming up bottom of the hour. Sean Hannity on Fox last night had the father of the first kiddo shot in the CHOP, which has now been dismantled, by the way. Seattle now has their seven blocks back.
Okay.
But many arrests and some violence, but it's two deaths later. Many, many, many crimes inside what was called CHOP. One 14-year-old fighting for his life. There's video now of complete gunfire back and forth because they said bad things were going on at night, and it was. And the father of this 19-year-old, it's so unbelievably moving. This is a good father that worked very hard at being a good father. And it's heartbreaking. I want to play a clip of that. But that was a real powerful interview last night on Sean Hannity. If you miss it, you can go online and see this emotion. And it puts a face on the violence that we hear about every day in Chicago and don't think much about. It puts a face on when you hear about a drive-by killing an 8-year-old. It just makes it more real to understand that this is a generational hit. When we hear 14 are shot and dead in Chicago on a day, you just don't, okay, that's normal. Why? Why is that normal? Why do we allow that? Why is there no public outrage and say, we must stop this? This is all so unacceptable. Okay, we're happy to welcome political analyst Audria Taylor Decker. How are you?
Good morning. Great to be with you.
What a time. I saw the Sean Hannity interview with the father of the 19-year-old shot in CHOP out in Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was just so powerful. And I just watched it again this morning, and I just, it's just hard not to tear up. There's so much chaos going on. I'm glad Seattle has their seven blocks back, but it was too late. Mm-hmm. Some of the crazy things going on, and I don't think this is an election anymore, Audria, between Donald Trump and Joe Biden. It's clearly between civilization and the alternative, which is what CHOP, I think, was a petri dish about. It's about, here's what happens when you don't have law and order, you don't have police, you don't have prisons, you don't have borders, you have chaos. So about the Joe Biden presser, is kid gloves the proper term?
I mean, yeah, if you can even say that. I mean, the media went so light on Biden. They did not even ask him about the recent shooting in Seattle's CHOP zone. As you said, where two African-Americans have been shot killed. They didn't even ask him about that. They didn't ask him about the unmasking of Michael Flynn or the call to defund the police movement. I mean, it was really unbelievable that they gave Biden a complete pass on these critical issues facing our country right now.
Why is it so unbelievably different? I mean, if you pick Joe Biden, chances are it's going to be unbelievable harmony in the media. So you have that going for you. I'd look forward to that because it is every day the media wakes up, most of them, not all, most all, and they've got an agenda to get this guy out of office. And maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But man, I'm tired of fighting.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. It's certainly interesting to see the comparison between the way the media interacts right now with the current administration and the way that they're treating the Democratic presidential nominee. We know that Biden read from a list of reporters. He called on them one by one. He knew their name. They were all in a particular order. I mean, this was a very well planned out, structured press conference where Biden knew exactly what he was going to be facing. And it's interesting. He didn't have a press conference for 89 days. He finally has this one in a situation where he has a lot of control. And I would argue that if President Trump had ever done this and gone 89 days without taking a question from the media when he was running for office, he would have been blasted for it. I mean, there's a reason why the campaign is not encouraging Biden to talk to reporters, and it's because he has political gaffes. And so he's up in the polls, but I think part of it is because he's not talking to the American people.
Yeah. Well, and again, the way he had to go down his list, and I presume the campaign knew what the questions were going to be. It's like, oh my gosh, if I'm a campaigner for Joe Biden, I am holding my breath, Andrea, the whole time. What's he say? I mean, it's just, I don't know how they're going to do the debate. I can't believe they're going to put him on a stage for a debate.
Well, and that's, I think, why President Trump is saying again and again, he's ready for the debate. I mean, Biden has had so many slip-ups, from forgetting what state he's in, till just recently saying 120 million people died of COVID, a number we know is not true. I mean, he was even asked in this press conference about his cognitive decline.
Yeah.
And his response was, I quote, "I'm constantly tested." I mean, that is not something that anyone wants to hear said from a presidential nominee. He's constantly tested for his cognitive decline.
The campaign said, well, he's being challenged. And then you're saying, well, how is he challenged in his basement? Listen, the facts are the facts. You can vote for a buffalo or a horse, anything other than Donald Trump, I think is probably have a good chance to win right now. It happens to be Joe Biden, but Lord in heaven, he is not the same Joe Biden. If you go back and go to YouTube and look at the Paul Ryan Joe Biden debate of 2012, it is clear as day that this is not the same man, but yet so now you say, well, maybe the vice presidential nominee is important this time, because who says they're only running for one term? Nobody in the history of the presidency has said that, have they? Just one. I don't know what to say, except there's that, and then there's this unbelievable choice between AOC, who's advising Joe Biden, and some of the craziness of the left. Andrea, how do you explain? How do you explain Virginia legislature trying to make assaulting a police officer a misdemeanor? Are you kidding?
I mean, you can't explain some of the things that are happening right now. And, I mean, Americans should be very concerned that this effort to defund the police that's happening all over the country is going to breed chaos. It's going to breed crime. In fact, just in Seattle, crime is up 527%, and that is violent crime, rape and violent assault. I mean, it didn't work. The CHOP zone didn't work. Not having police didn't work, and yet the mayor there called it the quote-unquote summer of love. I mean, if we have this happen in other parts of the country where there is less police, or police are defunded, it is not going to go well for the American people or for our communities, for our country as a whole. I mean, the fact that people are still supporting these ideas, I call them the elite, the political elite and the people in Hollywood, because they have their own security. They have their own security system. They're not like the average American, but the rest of Americans don't have a private security detail and don't have a big gate around their mansion. And we rely on the police.
Yeah.
And so they need to be called out for that double standard, and we have to confront these issues head on right now in our country.
Tell you what, I've never felt this in my life as far as what's going on in America. What if you said, let's make it a misdemeanor to assault any elected official? How's that sound?
Right.
I mean, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't make it lesser to assault anybody. What are they thinking? And this is a Virginia. I mean, that's a pretty big state. That's a pretty significant state. And they're talking about making it a misdemeanor to fight with a police officer. It's off the charts crazy. I never thought we'd reach it in my lifetime. That's certain. Andre, how do people follow you, find you? How do they connect with you?
Yeah, would love to connect with people at Audrey Taylor on Instagram and on Twitter and Facebook, and it's so great to talk with you.
God bless America. God bless the USA on this 4th of July, very unusual 4th of July. Audrey, appreciate your time.
It is. Happy Independence Week.
ESPN 93.5, Audrey Taylor Decker. I mean, does that make any sense to anybody?
Well, and Marcus say we're definitely living in crazy times. But I'm being nice saying it that way.
But I don't get who could be behind assaulting a police officer to make it a misdemeanor. So in other words, no big deal, let's just fight.
Right.
Would you want that for you? Make it a misdemeanor to assault all state employees. Is that okay? What do you think? Well, they're not full of hate. Well, neither are the police. It has been so unfair how we have depicted those that are on the front line. And we saw what happened with CHOP. It descends into anarchy and chaos. Exactly, so predictable. It's not even worth saying, I told you so. It's just automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're, you know, two lives down, another two black Americans dead. Happening every day in Chicago. But we tend to, I guess, accept it. But then you hear the father of the man who was killed, who's 19, boy, whatever you want to call him, on Sean Hannity last night. It's just heartbreaking.
And they need to come talk to me, and somebody need to come tell me something, because I still don't know nothing. And somebody need to come to my house and knock on my door and tell me something. But, you know, I don't know nothing. All I know is my son was, he got killed up there, and he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son, you know, and I loved him. And that was my son.
Not your family. Don't worry about
everybody.
It.
Everybody, I can tell you, sir, and Andre, I didn't want to cut you off earlier, but you know, on this show, we've done something. We have every weekend hundreds of kids shot, people shot in Chicago, killed every weekend. We get a death toll. Nobody knows their names. These are American kids, grandmothers, grandfathers, moms, and dads. We're the United States of America. We can fix this. We don't fix this.
Yep. So he's expressing all the things that he did. He got his son when he was two. He has other kids. He makes him dinner every night. Man, it's hard to even talk about.
I'm telling you, it's powerful.
If you have kids, you're saying nobody has a face on these kids. They just don't. We go on. We say, okay, 14 dead in Chicago today. Right. I mean, it doesn't matter anymore.
More gang warfare.
Down to you hear a guy like that. You say, man, this is kind of real when you hear him talking about it. And he was a good dad. He's a Christian. He coached football. He told his son, I love you. And he went to bed. And his son was on the couch. And his son went out. And in the wrong place, wrong time. So puts it a little more real, doesn't it? Mm. Check your ESPN 93.5 3-day forecast, National Weather Service.
Up to 89. 66 are low with a few clouds this evening. Tomorrow, 90 are high, down to 66. Partly cloudy on the 4th of July Saturday. High 91 expected. 67 are low. And on Sunday and Monday, we're up to 91. Mid-90s by next week. Right now, the temperature's at 74 on ESPN 93.5.
You could message us on Facebook Live. You can text us 359-2255. Ed says behind that, the same people in Champaign County that want to ban putting in jail the people who break the law. I don't know how you live anywhere where there's no laws, where
right.
there's no jails.
Jeff says the father is the reality of what happens now, when there are no cops.
Fox Business Minute brought to you by Starla Carr, Provident Financial Group in Champaign, where partnerships are built on trust. Find Starla, Provident Financial Group, LLC.com. 720.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Wall Street will be reacting today to the latest readings on the job market, the June unemployment rate, number of jobs created, and the number of new claims for unemployment benefits last week. The FAA has completed recertification test flights for Boeing 737 MAX. The Seattle Times says more work is necessary before the plane can receive clearance to fly again, which would come in mid-September at the earliest. The FAA will now examine data gathered during test flights. Regulators from the FAA and other countries will evaluate pilot training requirements. Tech-based insurance company Lemonade is scheduled to launch its stock today. It sells insurance to renters and homeowners. It will trade on the New York Stock Exchange. It uses technology to create savings for the insurance business. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola, invested in you.
There's never been a more critical time. Fox News Media is bringing America together. America is watching news and fearless debate on Fox News Channel. We're invested in you from Wall Street to Main Street to your street with Fox Business. America is listening wherever you are, on radio and podcasts, trending the stories you need anytime you want online. And Fox Nation, streaming the entertainment that celebrates America. Fox News Media, America's news, and much more.
Spirit, the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, is now open 7 days a week at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign. Head in, check out their newly redesigned floor plan with their selection of buy one, get one free t-shirts, along with other items from top brands such as Nike, Champion, Columbia, and more. For the best selection of Fighting Illini gear in town, head down to Game Day Spirit, 1602 South Neal Street in Champaign. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
This is Starla Carr with Provident Financial Group. With each election year, it's important to remember negativity and conflicts are common. Investors should realize future success depends on sound, long-term investment strategies and staying the course. If you have concerns with your portfolio, we can help create a long-term plan that's right for you. Contact us today at 3017 Village Office Place in Champaign, 366-3456, or find us online at ProvidentFinancialGroupLLC.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network, member FINRA, SIPC, or Registered Investment Advisor.
She is Associate Chancellor of Public Affairs, University of Illinois. Let me just define what that is. You need anything answered at the University of Illinois, God bless the Chancellor and the President, but ask Robin.
Exactly.
They're just going to ask her anyway. How are you?
I am well. How are you, Steve?
It was about, several lifetimes ago when I used to announce you as an award-winning newscaster, a.k.a. journalist, and, you know, that's been 35 years ago.
Wow.
Well, you know, that's so funny. I noticed in the paper the other day, a longtime DWS employee retired the other day, and it was someone I did not know at all. And
right.
I thought, wow, that's funny. I guess I've been gone a really long
Who
time.
Who was it?
Jim Lewis.
Oh, Jimmy left because Lola got a job in Nashville or something.
That's right.
I hired him 25 years ago.
I think in Kentucky.
Kentucky?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, anyway, I hired him 25 years ago.
Yes.
And I think I said to him, will you promise to show up at midnight? Because if you don't, I do. And he said, sure. And then I said, okay, you're hired. You have a pulse. You look like a nice kid. You're good. You're good. So it's Robin Kaler. She is Associate Chancellor for Public Affairs, University of Illinois. All right. I'm so happy that I don't have to figure out all that you guys are figuring out. Firstly, we're going to have to bring everybody back. We're going to have to test them. You guys are actually trying to hire about 100 people, aren't you?
Yes. We're going to set up, we have already set up, if you've driven around campus lately, quite a few tents that will be used for testing. We're starting with just a couple of them, and by the time, you know, we get a lot of people back to campus, we'll have, a dozen or more testing sites. So obviously you need quite a few people to do that. They've all got to be HIPAA trained. They've all got to be trained in how to do the testing and whatnot. So very exciting.
Okay. All right. We'll test, and the results will be, what, a day later? They have the 10-minute test. What do we have coming up? What do you guys have?
It'll be quick. They'll be quick. Right. So, yeah, we've got an amazing team working on that. Our Shield team, led by Marty Burke and Paul Hergenrother, are rocking. And Bill Sullivan's working on the Illinois app that will allow us to help people get results quickly and be able to tell if they've been exposed by anybody around them.
Mm-hmm.
Also downloaded the app. That's what we've found in other countries that are having success is, you've really got to be able to, they call it target, test, and tell, to test people regularly and be able to let people know if they've been exposed. And then those people who've been exposed to, get them to self-quarantine.
Yeah. Well, when this, they're going to have people get it. It's inevitable. But then what? Mm-hmm. You're going to quarantine them 14 days in place kind of thing? Okay. All right.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, if your symptoms are mild enough, you would self-isolate. And then obviously, if you need to be in a medical facility, we would ask that you do that.
I think a lot of this work out of your place of business, you don't have to go to work anymore. I think we figured out, I think some of that's going to stay, don't you? The work from home?
For sure. For us, at least for the duration of this, the chancellor and provost and several other leaders met with our Senate yesterday. And that was one thing they said was that, those who do not have to be physically on campus, the idea would be that you'd continue to work remotely so that you have as few people as possible to make room for those who need to be there, the students and the instructors who are going to be teaching face-to-face, and which not all instructors will be doing. But you want to get others to not be around so that, that we can minimize the number of people there. So, for example, in a classroom building, if you've got it down to a third or less, then that way when they have to change classes and, be in hallways together, at least the density is much, much lower.
Okay, so I get to ask you all the hard questions. Kind of fun, actually, because Robin can answer every hard question. So how in the world would we police CAMS and Joe's Brewery and frat parties and no mask wearing?
Yeah,
it's my life. You can't make me. I mean, all these other independent kind of things. How do you do that? Because you don't have enough resources to point the finger and jump on somebody's back, I guess.
Yeah. So our first of all, our philosophy is going to be to build a culture of compliance and a culture that says I'm part of a community. And while I might be young and I don't think I would get it, or if I get it, I don't think that it would hurt me very much. I'm part of a community. I'm part of the Illinois family. And if I want to be here physically in person as part of the Illinois family, I need to think about not just myself, but my fellow Illinois family members and my fellow greater Champaign-Urbana community members. So we're going to be launching a very robust educational campaign to really build that feeling of community and that feeling of responsibility, and that it's a privilege to get to come back, because, most of us have been, trapped in our own house.
Yeah, no question.
Long time.
Yeah, is it one per room in a dorm? How are you guys doing that?
Not necessarily. Some will have two, but none will have more than two.
Okay.
So, and just another thing about the bars, the university officials and the city government officials and the liquor commissioners and the public health folks are actually meeting to discuss what can be done about ensuring that those are locations are not getting too densely populated, that they can social distance and that they require masks.
Last thing, student, just so you know, because I know you love all this great information, this is from ABC News. Students in Tuscaloosa, home of the University of Alabama. Students in Tuscaloosa who have been diagnosed with COVID-19 have been attending parties in the city and surrounding areas as part of a disturbing contest to see who can catch a virus first.
Lord. Yeah, that's
not... Hey, you want to come back into radio? I can pay you $11 an hour. What do you think?
Yeah, I
what in the world? You can't. You just can't. You're just gonna have to strap it on every day. That's what you do every day.
Yep. It's gonna be a sign of love to your community. What we say. Yeah.
All right. Well, you're the best. We appreciate you. Thank you for signing your new deal. I just read it from the president's office. Robin Cater will be with the U of I for 13 more years.
Yes.
Congratulations. Good job. Well done.
Oh, Lord. You're very sweet. Oh, my. Hey, Allie Pitcher and Emma Zoe's friends were in town over the weekend, so we had a Grace Kecheturian fan club meeting.
Nice. Oh, we had to, I don't know if you've gotten a chance to see Gracie over in Dayton, but she's on WDTM.
Yeah. Yes.
She's doing so
great.
Well.
She's doing a great job.
Doing a great job. Learning every day, watching the videos, really asking questions. And just, I told her that's how you get better. You just have to study and work. And she's been doing a lot of that. And she is hosting the show today by herself. They have trusted her with the whole show by herself today.
Excellent.
And Robin Kaler is part of that whole development. You are the best. Yep. We appreciate you. Keep up your fine work. Let me know if you need me. I don't know if I can work for 14 an hour with these new jobs. I'll do it for 400. Maybe we can be in the middle. I don't know if that's possible, but.
All good. It's all good for a good cause. Keep, love our universe.
You betcha, and keep up your good work.
All right. You as well, sir.
Thank you. Robin Kaler, University of Illinois Associate Chancellor of Public Affairs.
Always great with information on what's happening.
And again, I didn't exaggerate. If you're, because if you ask the chancellor, no offense, he's just going to ask Robin. So just go to Robin. It's 8:30 in New York. 7:30 here.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu.
I think it's a hoax. I think it's a hoax by the newspapers and the Democrats.
President Trump on Fox Business keeping up his pushback against reports of Russian bounties on U.S. troops. Meanwhile, the highest level Capitol Hill briefings to date on the issue taking place today.
It's the CIA director and the DNI leading two briefings, first for the bipartisan gang of eight, then the House Intelligence Committee will get one. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien revealed it was a CIA briefer who decided not to tell the president about the assessments, which remain to be verified. Meanwhile, Democrats are blasting the president's response, saying it amounts to the highest betrayal.
Fox's Griff Jenkins. And the June jobs report just in showing 4.8 million jobs were added. That is above the expectation of 3 million jobs added to the economy in June. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Monticelli with your ESPN 93.5 local news update. Champaign police arrested a 66-year-old Champaign man for his alleged involvement in the shooting of a 73-year-old man on June 24th. Gofart Whitley was arrested at a private home. On June 24th, about 5:40 in the evening, police responded to the 1100 block of Hickory Street on a reported shooting. When they got there, police learned a 73-year-old male had shown up at a local hospital with a serious gunshot wound to the abdomen. The investigation showed the victim was on the north side of Beardsley Park when the suspect fired a single round into his abdomen and then left. Champaign police are investigating a shooting last night that sent a 17-year-old to the hospital. Police said the victim was driving a vehicle near Beardsley Park when he was shot at and hit by gunfire from the occupants of a small SUV. The suspects fired more shots at him in the area of 4th and Bradley. No arrests have been made. You're up to date. I'm Jamie Monticelli.
Tapman's Towing, the most trusted towing and roadside service in downstate Illinois, is looking for a few outstanding people. You need a desire to provide customers quality service with integrity and honesty, a commitment to maintain a more than 45-year tradition of excellence, a clean driving record, and love to solve problems and work outdoors. If you want to join the Tapman's team, apply in person in Urbana at 810 East Perkins Road or online at tapmanstowing.com. Tapmanstowing.com. Tapman's
Towing. Relive some of the greatest moments in history with Cardinals Classic Games.
Here's the pitch.
From no-hitter performances.
Swinging a ground ball to third. Ball, no-hitter.
Division wins.
Cardinals have won the Eastern Division crown. Again.
To World Series victories.
That's the winner. A World Series winner for the Cardinals.
It's Cardinals Classic Games on the Cardinals Radio Network.
Tonight at 6:15, the 2013 NLCS Game 4 on ESPN 93.5. Get the roof your home deserves. Roof Doctors. They have honest, reasonable rates. They give you competitive prices up front. No gimmicks or contractor pricing games. You can rely on Roof Doctors. No deposit required. No subcontractors. Over 30 years in business in the industry. Check out Roof Doctors at roofdoctorsco.com or call Tammy or Randy at 328-7529. Roof Doctors, 328-7529. Here is your ESPN 93.5. 3-day weather forecast from the National Weather Service.
Warm, 90 our high, 66 our low with a few clouds. Chance of rain at 10%. Partly cloudy as we wrap up the week with a high 90 and a low 66. 91 on Saturday and Sunday, down to around 68 in the evening, but plenty of sunshine for our 4th of July holiday weekend. Right now we're at 74 on ESPN 93.5.
And they need to come talk to me, and somebody need to come tell me something, because I still don't know nothing. And somebody need to come to my house and knock on my door and tell me something. But, you know, I don't know nothing. All I know is my son was, he got killed up there, and he's just a 19-year-old. No, that's Horace Lorenzo Anderson. That's my son, you know, and I loved him.
That's the father that of the 19-year-old killed in CHOP, and nobody came to him. He couldn't see the body for a week. It's just staggering what's happening and what happened there. They've dismantled it. Here to comment on that and several other things, it's our friend Boyd Matheson, Deseret News, ace writer, former chief of staff to Senator Mike Lee from Salt Lake City this morning. It's heartbreaking, Boyd, to hear. I mean, and it makes it real what we kind of use as a statistic, you know, however many are going to get shot and killed in Chicago, it's inevitable there's going to be quite a number in the 4th of July weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we do nothing. We can't do anything. This is America. We can't stop this.
Yeah, and it is. It's just heartrending. It just reminds you how fragile freedom really is. And, you know, I always say the things that we ignore, the things that we forget, our children aren't going to know. And what our children don't know, our grandchildren are not going to possess. And these kinds of things where we just kind of shrug our shoulders and say, hey, not my job, not my problem, not my issue. What we really need is a lot less of the shoulder shrugging, especially out of Washington, D.C., and a lot more shoulder squaring. We always talk about, kind of a 4th of July weekend. We always say, hey, we stand on the shoulders of giants who went before us. And we have to remember the only reason we can stand on those shoulders is because they were willing to square them in really hard times. And they had difficult conversations, uncomfortable conversations. But they moved forward. It was never about looking back, placing blame, pointing fingers, all the things that we've been conditioned to do. We have to get past that. And this is just one more example of this is what happens when everyone says, well, not my job. It'll be okay. Don't worry about it. No, we do need to worry about it as Americans. And there's a lot that needs to be done. And yet, even in the midst of all of that, you know, we can say our politics has failed. But America is not going to fail. And the reason it's not going to fail is not because who's in the Oval Office or who controls the Senate or the House. It's going to be who's sitting in those living rooms, who's in those community centers, who's in those hospital rooms. That's what's really going to make the difference. It always has. We have to remember that it's community and it's culture that lead and the politicians follow. It's been that way. We always talk about the 4th of July and Declaration of Independence. Galvanizing document for the country, to be sure, but it was a lagging document, not a leading document. The Revolutionary War had been going for 15 months before they got around to putting some things on paper. Jackie Robinson broke the color barrier in 1947. Took Congress 17 more years to get the civil rights legislation. So I would just encourage everyone, you know, one, remember what this country's all about. It starts in your home, your neighborhood, your community. We don't need to look to Washington to solve the problems, or even to the State House, for that matter. It starts right within the walls of our own home and in our own communities.
Horace Lorenzo Anderson Sr., the dad of the 19-year-old, said he kissed him on the couch, went to bed, and 19-year-old decided to go out, found himself in CHOP, found himself dead. And again, why nobody, the mayor, no police officers, nobody ever told him. He heard about it from his friends. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
How does that happen? How do you not see the body for a week? Total chaos. And notice nothing happened until they marched on the mayor's home in a gated community. And then I think she said, okay, now you've done it. It's crazy,
yeah.
Crazy times. All right, Virginia legislature talking about making it a misdemeanor to assault police.
You know, some of these policies are fraying the very fabric of our society. I mean, when this, the defelonizing assault on police officers puts a target on those and signals to our men and women in blue who are black and white and brown and gay and straight and Republican and Democrat. It signals to them that we don't have their back. And here's the reality. The country's dealing with a virus right now, obviously. But crime and chaos is as well a virus. And there's only one vaccine for that, and that's law and order. So we have to be very, very careful, because what some of these policies that are coming out from the left, they're not only putting our men and women in blue in danger, but they're also making our communities less safe.
That's a former, former Navy SEAL on Fox. Your thoughts, Boyd?
Yeah, so often we get presented with these false choices. You know, you're either, you know, don't care about anyone's rights and you just want the all-powerful police state and you want, you know, bad police officers to be able to do whatever they want, or you're on the other side and they're all bad and awful. We need to, you know, defund them and throw them out. And both of those are, that's such a fake fight and a false choice. Of course, we have to have the back of our law enforcement officials, and we need law enforcement officials to make sure they're doing everything they can in terms of transparency and accountability. We have a beautiful thing going on here in Salt Lake City. We have this place called the Other Side Academy, based on the Delancey Street model. You've got 100 former felons living under one roof, under one roof. These are people who, on average, have been arrested 25 times apiece. Spent years in jail. They're part of this community. There's no guards. There's no cameras. There's no ankle monitors. They've never had a fight break out. These are people from rival gangs in many instances, and they all live under one roof, and they all focus on holding each other accountable. They call it 200% accountability. So you're not only responsible 100% for yourself, you're also 100% responsible for everybody else in the house. And they are transforming lives, but here's the beauty of it. Yesterday, 100 felons went and met with the head of the police department in Salt Lake City and the mayor, talking about how their model can help change what does need to be changed in terms of law enforcement. And it's having law enforcement have that same attitude, not a culture of silence, but a culture of 200% accountability. Mm-hmm. It's an extraordinary thing to watch. These guys don't take a penny from the federal government, state, local. Wow. They fund themselves. They have the number one rated customer service moving company in the state of Utah. Now, think about that. These are guys who used to take your TV out of their window and go sell it, you know, at a pawn shop.
Right.
And to watch these guys go. And so the reason I share that, Stevie, is it's culture. It's these kinds of interactions that, you know, the stuff going on in Virginia is just mind-bending to me in terms of, you know, how can you even think and present that kind of an argument in terms of how we treat our law enforcement. And anyway, this is a community thing. It's going to be solved at a community level, but it's good for all of us to think through, okay, do I have 200% accountability? Do I have that in my house, in my community? Do our, you know, police and law enforcement folks do the same? Do our government officials do the same? It's a good model. It actually works. It transforms lives, and it makes everything a little bit better.
Well, that's a heck of an idea when you're talking about, you know, how, and I never really thought about that the politicians lag and they kind of, and you can see what's happened to the Democratic Party. They've gone far left because they have to, because of the pressure. Well, people in their living rooms can certainly put pressure on the way it's going to say, this is what we want, because I think the people still rule here, Boyd. That's what I heard. It's craziness. But when you say that, if I were in front of the state legislature in Virginia, I'd say, hey, that's interesting. How about this one? Misdemeanor for harming or assaulting any elected official? Anybody? Show of hands? What do you think?
Exactly.
They'd say, what are you doing? And I'm saying, what are we doing as human beings? You don't hit or assault anybody. I mean, come on. What are they talking
about? Period.
Unbelievable. Anyway, and then finally, before I let you go, the falling of history with our monuments. Hey, if you don't like a monument, a statue, you go through the channels, you go through the council, you petition, you do the things we do in this country for that. But to pull them down with ropes and then cheer up and down, and you're pulling down people that were actually abolitionists. I mean, this... I mean, Matthias Baldwin, I honestly didn't know much about him, but he was a guy that helped the African-Americans in the 1830s. And they pull it down because he's a white guy. What are we doing?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's where we really have to realize all of those who are protesting, all of those who are tearing down statues and vandalizing and taking lives in an area like CHOP in Seattle, all of those folks just need to stop for a minute as they attack even George Washington or Jefferson. Yes, complicated, flawed individual, we all are, to be sure. But the one thing I think they all need to be reminded that if it weren't for those people, your right to freely protest, to freely assemble, to have your ability to raise your voice the way you want to would not exist. So, I mean, imperfect, absolutely. Evil? Come on.
Yeah.
We've got to recognize that the lessons of history are very nuanced, and it doesn't just fit in a nice chant as you're marching down the street. It's much more than that. And so we can recognize the complexities because we all have a little good and a little bad in us. It's what we choose to do with it that really matters. And even I was thinking about this morning, you think of the big march on Washington led by Dr. Martin Luther King. And that was millions of people on the Mall. Did he tell them to go and tear down the statue of Thomas Jefferson? No. No, he said, be civil, elevate the conversation. And he even quoted Jefferson over and over and over again and said, let's live up to what he put on paper in 1776.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different model than what we're seeing on the streets today, even what we're seeing from a lot of members of Congress today. Let's not throw everybody out and forget that history.
Yeah.
Because there are principles to be learned there, and so much we can do. And again, it's gonna happen locally. It's gonna happen in our homes and communities, and that's the only way we can really have confidence. We can say politics has failed, for sure, but America is not gonna fail. I've probably never been more pessimistic about our politics. I've never been more bullish about the future of the country.
That's what I'm
because
talking about.
It really is about what happened at home.
How do people find, follow, and read Boyd Matheson?
They can go to Deseret.com, Deseret.com, and they can also follow me on Twitter at Boyd Matheson.
And what happens November 3, because you know?
Actually, you know what I'm going to say today, Stevie? I am focused, most people are focused on the first Tuesday of November.
Yeah.
I'm actually focused on the first Wednesday of November because regardless of who wins what race, whether that's national or local, it's the first Wednesday that matters because on that first Wednesday, Americans are going to get up in the morning like they do every day, and they're going to take care of their families. They're going to check in on their neighbor. They're going to make a difference in their community. They're going to coach Little League. They're going to go to church. They're going to pray with somebody. They're going to donate at a food bank. And it's the first Wednesday in November that we really all ought to be focused on most.
We the people. That's it. Boyd
That's
Matheson,
right.
DeseretNews.com. Keep up your fine writing and work, my friend.
All right. Thanks, dude. Appreciate your voice. You guys have a great 4th of July weekend.
You as well. The greatest nation ever.
That's right.
ESPN 93.5/747.
God bless America.
God bless America. God bless America. And if we continue to get on our knees and pray, the country can hang on. As we move away from God, it gets worse, guaranteed. I'm so nervous in the morning because if I call the wrong number, the people generally aren't very happy.
That's true.
All right. Okay, I think I pushed the right ones.
Reminder, you can listen to the show later at steviej.com.
Good morning.
Eric Meyer, owner of Pia's and Bentley's Bar, next to what used to be Carmen's Restaurant.
Uh-huh.
I used to advertise for Paul Damsky back in the day, Eric, and I said, what the world you got going on here? French toast was $1.10. I said, it's $1.10, so the whole thing was Carmen's Restaurant where the prices are too darn low. Eric Meyer, all right, small business genius. How are you? What's happening in your life? What's happening?
I'm doing all right. Hey, I miss Paul, and of course, I'm a big Cub fan, too, so, and Paul was always a Cub fan. He always had his Cub hat on.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
He was always fun to talk with, you know?
Well, I remember I gave away a $10 gift certificate to Carmen's restaurant, and he was
good. It sounds like good for three people.
Oh,
right?
My gosh, take a family of 10 out. Exactly. Anyway, so I gave him a $10 gift certificate, and he's, you know, he cooked. He did the, you know, had the spatula, the apron, the whole thing.
He did it all.
And so the person got done, and they spent $10 and one penny and didn't leave a tip. And so he actually left his cooking station and ran down the street and said, was there a problem?
Oh, that's Paul.
Great stuff.
Loving.
Great stuff. Yep. All right. It's Eric Meyer, Pia's and Bentley's. This is touching the small businessman. How are we doing in Champaign County? What's happening? What do you see?
Well, I think a lot of the outdoor dining has helped the entire community quite a bit. It's brought back a little bit of what's called normalcy. I know some places aren't getting quite back to normal in total sales. I know I've talked to a lot of the business owners that say that, you know, they're about 50% of what they were doing at the same time last year. Certainly that's not a model for success, or certainly isn't something that people can survive on, but it is improving. I think what I've seen so far, at least my experience and others, is that the inside service, even though it's available, is not being really taken advantage of too much, because I think a lot of people are really reluctant to be indoors, and that they're really using the outdoor areas more than they're using the indoor areas. So I think that's something that's going to have to come with time and a little more consumer confidence as well.
Okay. What about how our county is handling it? What kinds of things are you learning there?
Well, we've got some big issues. I mean, certainly one thing that was nice is we had video gaming opened up yesterday. There was a few problems with that. Some people's machines came on, some of them didn't, but we were happy to see that, and that was welcomed by everyone. Licensees, and even more importantly, the customers were lined up ready to go for that too, which I thought that was probably the one thing that did work inside.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had some issues with some bar overcrowding, primarily in the campus area. At least that was the alleged by virtue of some pictures. The pictures don't always do justice of what truly is happening with the occupant load. The one thing that happens, and you know as well as I do with young students, and young adults, is they just don't want to sit down at a table and chat. They like to get up and move around and mm-hmm. talk with one another. And that, by its very nature, is somewhat dangerous in a time when we want to have separation and a little bit more of a control of that nature. And so I think what's difficult with the campus bar scene is that you have a situation where most models, we design 80% for seating in our establishments and 20% of standing room only. They're absolutely the flip. You know, it's 80% standing room only and 20% seating, if they even have 20% seating. So that design model alone creates a lot of movement of customers, and that makes it difficult to control these zones and break groups up into 6 or 10 or so. So that's an issue. So because of that and some other complaints in the county, county officials are meeting today with all of the liquor commissioners in the community, as well as, I believe, some policing agencies and, of course, public health, to discuss how they're going to handle overcrowding or, better yet, non-compliance issues associated with the phase four, and come up with some solutions on how they're going to handle things, how they might enforce those things. And we're going to kind of have to see what types of decisions come out of that meeting today. I'm sure we'll hear something later today.
Yep.
But, you know, I think one of the greatest concerns that most licensees have in our area is, you know, we've gotten guidance from the state. We've had some assistance from the city on the things we should be doing, but every establishment's a little bit different, and there hasn't really necessarily been quite the guidance to say, this is what you should do at your place. to meet the goals of this phase four. And it's been an education for, I think, almost everyone that's been in our industry, and I think we all want the very best, but it hasn't been the easiest task to, because, you know, we're all out here doing our own thing, trying to comply without just the perfect model for all of us to see.
Yep, and so when we all get back here, University of Illinois, going to crank it back up, and we're all going to do all the safety stuff, I mean, again, how many businesses, after the whole PPP is out, and many are out of it already, payroll protection plan, will you be shocked if there's a high level of bankruptcies or closings? I know Panera Bread on Green Street and Wright, if it's closed for good. Will you be surprised to hear that a lot don't make it?
No, I won't be, because even though people don't always believe it, most of us operate on pretty thin margins, and you take 2, 3, 4 months yeah. out of your year. And for the most part, you've lost maybe 1-2 years worth of profits.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and think about trying to recover from that. If you can't get back to a normal sales volume, then in all reality, you're continuing to lose or tread water. And you just can't dig out of the hole. And I mean, we're seeing places, you know, even announced in Springfield yesterday, and we've had several already in our own community announce that they're closing and not coming back. I think we'll see a lot more. And if we don't have the same volume of University of Illinois people, which, you know, is typically what, 50 some thousand students, if we have a lot of students that elect to go virtually and don't end up back in our community, that's a lot of eating and drinking dollars that are gone from our community, and it's going to have a rippling effect down, and it's certainly going to affect a lot of those restaurants that are even in campus town. I can't imagine them surviving without having students.
I don't know how you do. Anyway, hang in there, Eric Meyer, Pia's and Bentley's. Let me know if I can help in any way, but hang on, my friend.
Well, we appreciate all that you do. You know, it's an interesting time. We have almost 8 states now that have announced closing all their bars here in the last 72 hours. Mm. And that thing doesn't look like it's getting any better. We need to get control of this this virus, and let's hope for the best. And God bless you and the rest of your listeners.
Yeah, God bless you, my friend. Hang in there.
Thanks,
that's Eric Meyer. Owner Pia's and Bentley's Bar. It's just been hard.
Mm-hmm.
And again, those are stories you don't really hear. You see statistics. Our focus is on, you know, who's sick, who's not sick, how to not spread and mask wearing, all those other things. But behind the scenes, perhaps, and behind a lot of the headlines are a lot of despair and depression and anxiety and struggle. And you know, you say, well, you know, there's small business. You know, it's really difficult when it's your livelihood and your life.
For sure.
And it's very difficult to really understand, because you took a leap of faith at some point. You took over the family business. You created your own business. And then something that has never happened happens. It's like everything's closed. Everything's shut. And it's a real struggle for a whole lot of people in Champaign County and surrounding areas. News coming up, lots more in the next hour. Evan Brown's going to jump in. Pretty good news. Unemployment's down to 11.
Okay.
If it went from 14 and 13, now 11. So it means more people are going back to work. That and more in the next hour.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surface is your first stop.
We've all been stuck at home, looking at all the things we'd like to change about where we live. Well, Flooring Surfaces is here to help. The summer of savings starts now with discounted pricing on hundreds of the best floors around. Select in-stock hardwoods are cut by 50%. Double discounts on laminate floors and premium imported tiles start at just $125 per square foot. Flooring Surfaces stocks over 1 million square feet of flooring, so you will find a tile, hardwood, carpet, or waterproof vinyl floor that will freshen your space and save you money. We are a local business that's open to serve you in a clean and safe environment. Call 398-1990 to set up a personalized showroom experience or a safe in-home consultation. Then get ready to save with Flooring Surfaces.
See the showroom top designer shop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop. Flooring Surfaces, your first stop.
stop.
First Responder of the Month brought to you by Engelbrick Grills and Cookers, building award-winning grills in Paxton, Illinois. Visit grillsandcookers.com. Jason Rector, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you are a firefighter for the city of Champaign.
Yes, sir.
All right, tell me about why you wanted to be a firefighter.
Yeah, so growing up, my neighbor was a firefighter. His name was Terry Swift, and he asked, do you know what you want to be when you grow up? And I said, no, not yet. And he said, I think you should check out the Champaign Fire Department. I think you'd be really good at it, and you'd like it. So that's kind of what planted the seed, and I pursued a career that day moving forward.
You gotta be kidding. All right, so how does one become a firefighter?
Yeah, so you have to be 21 years old to be hired. There's a testing process, and we're getting ready to do a test this fall. And there's a written component, a physical fitness component, and an interview.
First Responder of the Month brought to you by Engelbrick Grills and Cookers, building award-winning grills in Paxton, Illinois. Visit grillsandcookers.com.
Long's Garage, the oldest auto repair facility in Champaign-Urbana, deals with engine repairs, transmissions, brakes, suspensions, electrical, air conditioning. But one thing they pride themselves on in the one-stop shop for vehicle repairs is tires. Kumho Tires is having an instant rebate sale. If you buy a set of four Kumho passenger tires, you get a $60 credit. If you have a truck and buy a set of four light truck tires, you get $120 credit. So go on to Long's Garage at 503 East Main Street or schedule an appointment at 217-367-3942.
You're listening to W.